Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My very special guest this half hour is Will Ragland from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. He's the VP of Research, Advocacy, and Outreach. We're talking about manufacturing. And Will, I wanted to just take it up a level because, you know, I'm an economist, and economists will argue all the time about what is the exact right way to measure the health of the manufacturing industry. And you can look at output numbers, the job numbers get revised. There's lots of different ways to sort of dice and splice these numbers. And I think a lot of times candidates sort of argue around the edges, or they'll measure over certain periods of time. But one of the things that you said before we went to break, I thought was really important. And that is making sure that our manufacturing sector is going to be healthy and robust moving into the future, right? And I think that again, this is not about replacing some kinds of traditional, especially auto and manufacturing, other manufacturing jobs, but it's about sort of the D, all of the above approach, right? We want to support good family supporting manufacturing jobs in a state like Wisconsin. And we also want to make sure that our industry and our manufacturing sectors are ready for the next new wave of products. And so I wanted to focus in there. That was point one from a bigger picture perspective. And I'd like you to address that. Point two to me is it seems a bit disingenuous for Donald Trump to be claiming that he supports manufacturing when he doesn't engage policies that actually help the middle class. In other words, especially tax and wage reform that is directly beneficial to the middle class, doesn't rely on some basically the big lie of trickle down, right? That acknowledges that if we want the middle class to do well, to consume the products that the manufacturing industry produces, we need to make sure that our tax system is fair. Will, if you could address both of those points about building the resiliency of our manufacturing sector, and also that all of this truly is about supporting middle-class families.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. You know, it is an all of the above approach. You know, we want to continue to make all the products, especially normal automobiles. You know, there's a notion on the right that there's this mandate that you know, we're going to get rid of all internal combustion engines. That's not the case, but it is the case that we don't want to cede the EV manufacturing and market to the Chinese. We want to make those here. We want to manufacture the parts, the components, the materials in the United States. And I think that there is a huge opportunity to do that and make that an American-led, an American-dominant economy that helps support middle-class jobs. Same goes for chips, yes. Computer chips. This is an industry that we used to be a leader in, where we made close to 40% of the world's computer chips. That went down to about 12%. Well, with the new resurgence of AI and all this need for computing power, there's another opportunity to take the lead here. And in a bipartisan piece of legislation called the CHIPS Act that was roundly supported by both Democrats and Republicans and signed into the law by President Biden, we put a significant investment into this that was met by private industry, whether it be Intel in Ohio or Micron in Syracuse, New York, or the TSMC in Arizona. They're building these massive plants to help build these chips again here in the United States. And there's all kinds of things that are being felt downstream from that that will again spur manufacturing here with the products of the future to make sure that we can be a manufacturing superpower once again. And I think that's really the smart way. We also can play catch up in some of the more traditional yes. sectors of manufacturing. That's not it's not an either or approach, but there's just such a huge opportunity for these products of the future, like you had talked about, that that we can really capitalize on in the near future. And I think we are. Yes. It's really been cool to see over the past 3 years that a lot of these manufacturing hubs and plants and chip hubs start to spring up, but it's going to take time.
You got to plant those seeds. There is a necessarily symbiotic relationship about helping to support and get our manufacturing sector ready for the products and the innovations of tomorrow while supporting traditional manufacturing today. We got a question from a listener, Gary, very briefly from Central Wisconsin. What is your question or comment, sir?
Well, I'm pretty sure I heard the number that, like, probably in year four, Trump's presidency, Wisconsin lost 6,000, I heard it emphasized that, manufacturing jobs. Now, in like some 3 years and 9 months almost now, Biden-Harris, like 100,000 plus have returned. You know, now we got to consider, of course, that was year one of the pandemic in which the Democrats totally manipulated and played around with and restricted everybody, stay at home, can't.
Yeah, Gary, your point's taken. It's why I began this segment by saying there are lots of different ways to measure this, but the readiness of manufacturing and the treatment of middle-class people fairly under the tax code must be part of our solution. My thanks to Will Raglin, Vice President of Research, Advocacy, and Outreach at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We're joined by the CAPAF every Monday at 2:30. Thanks so much. Well, we're going to be back with Maggie and the Millionaires, Talking Money with Sarah Chase, a world-traveled reporter who's also advised on national security issues, talking about corruption and what it looks like in the modern era. Keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Thanks, Will.